Patriots. And for some of you, that's round two. And yes, it is a Monday. I'm sorry, it's a Tuesday, but it's the 1st of June, 133 days since the hand puppet took charge of the fake White House. And the Muppet version of Miss Piggy, known as Kamala Sleepyback Harrison, decided to act like being vice president as she sleeps around to get more favor for this administration. We also have some Nimrod Buttigieg who can't even define what infrastructure is. So we've got a great little show going on that what is most interesting to me is how many American people are dumb enough to believe it and actually believe it so much so that they're willing to sacrifice themselves, their future, and their children with an injection. What an amazing time we live in. But before we get going, let's remember Bard's Fest is 26th to the 29th of August in St. Charles, Missouri. It's going to be a massive festival. We'll have tickets and more information developing in the next 2 weeks. Just mark it on your calendar. And we're doing the Slipper Revolution. It's going to take many forms, but the Slipper Revolution is about supporting one great company as we prepare ourselves to boycott seven others. And that one great company is MyPillow. We have a CEO who has got Christ in his heart. He does all sorts of outreach, an amazing amount of support for patriots, fights for this nation, and is also fighting to keep his company thriving as cancel culture left has cut away $65 million in sales. Our goal is to restore $69 million in sales, which is representative of 1 million My Slippers using the Bards code, B-A-R-D-S, which are $69 a pair. Get on over there and take a peek or get whatever else you need. They have great sheets, great pillows, great comforters, great towels. You can do like a whole MyPillow everything. So let's give him a big support. And you can get on over there at MyPillow.com, 60% it depends, lots of percentages off. Just use the Bards code, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. And it's awesome, and that way we can cancel culture. Just saying that makes me laugh. It's awesome. It's like, you bunch of morons. Can't believe you actually thought you could cancel one of our favorite companies. Not happening, not at all. So we're going to do Federalist Paper number 66 today, but what I want to touch on here real quickly, and I just keep reading this over and over, and I really want to caution people about your excitement and exuberance and start us as people, I would hope, start taking responsibility for what's going on here in this nation. The excitement and exuberance continues as I read chat on the board, I get emails, just all sorts of stuff. And people are saying, oh, you know, the military is going to take over in August and, oh, they're going to remove Biden. And okay, yes, the military has a role when things get so bad that you've had a coup and corporate power of America has taken things over. But I really want to ask right now what it is that each of us has done in as a movement we've done in our local communities, because that's where this is. Let me get into why this is important. We are going through the Federalist Papers in talking about the procedures of our government, and somehow it's a great idea for people to think that it's a good thing for the military to assume control. You know, I don't know the truth of real raw news. If you haven't seen it, go over and take a look at some of the stories. They're worth a good enjoyment read. At the very least, they're just a good, happy narrative for patriots to like reading, like watching a cool little serial on TV. Whether or not that's true or not, there's no validation. I can't stand when people are passing that around as fact. Whoa, it's true. It's happening. There is zero, let me stress that again, zero validation on what's going on in real raw news. So take it with a grain of salt. However, read between the lines a bit, read into the text and ask yourself if you think that's the type of country we want to live in. Yes, I understand there comes a time when there may be a need for the military to do its job. But we're sitting out here on the side all wondering when it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And you've got JAGs going around the country, apparently, coming up to people's door, apparently, and giving them a subpoena as they walk in plain clothes and sequestering the family from speaking, or they go to jail and throwing somebody in the back of a car and disappearing them. Okay, Patriots, that is the future when you put military in control. So I'm just cautioning everybody, get real. All right, get real. You're talking about right now, if all of this is correct, secret tribunals where there's no public access, three-day turnarounds towards sentences of death, people that are removed off the board and hanged or executed. Ask yourself a question. If this is the way you want the country to be and you think that this is the only way forward, then why did our founding fathers bother to give us the Declaration of Independence, which gave us the right to overthrow tyranny? Why have we even bothered to be citizens here? Why didn't we just sit back, throw our feet up? In this case, you'd probably be eating stale popcorn and just live under tyranny. Because I'll tell you what, the difference between what you're talking about when you read stuff like that in Real Raw News and this Biden hand puppet administration is zero. That's like this whole thing with this injection and transition to transhumanism. Notice the Pentagon's not speaking out against transhumanism. Did you notice that? Did you notice that President Trump isn't speaking out against transhumanism or isn't speaking out against the vaccine? Did you notice that everybody on Capitol Hill isn't saying anything about the injection and the fact that there's over 4,000 people dead? Did you notice that? Because the plan isn't about giving you a choice here. It's about who's going to control your software of life. And that is not an option I'm going to take. That's not in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or the Federalist Papers where it says, thou government shall ensure that you will become transhuman. All right? So this war, yes, it's a vicious war and it is a war between powers. But the question happens, like all things, is when somebody assumes power, like the military, when will they give it away? He with the biggest guns sometimes thinks they can win, but that doesn't mean that it's a good thing for the people. So I'm just putting it out there. Keep this in perspective as people do their happy dance around like, oh, I can't wait for August 15th. I have no idea. They're not going to telegraph a date. Who's ever doing those decodes? It's like, here we go again. Greatest quote ever was the other day on one of our chat boards, and it said, I hope Q isn't back, because for the first time, we're starting to get active in our communities and take action in our local counties. And once Q comes back, all people will do is sit on their butt and wait for Q to tell them what to do next. Absolute, absolute truth. So, it's not a matter whether Q is back or not. It was the statement that it was a great statement, and it is the fact of what Q did to most everybody in this country to sit back and do absolutely nothing. Just wait for the plan to happen. And that is exactly where we don't want to be. It has literally taken over 2 years of fighting, well, a year since last year in particular, for fighting constantly every day for people to get past, just to do one action. Don't wear a mask. I will tell you, when this mask thing came out from my own platform and the things that I was saying, don't wear a mask. Look out, here comes the injection. I can't tell you how many nasty comments I got from patriots telling me, oh, that's not true. It's not going to be real. The injection's going to be a placebo. President Trump would never, ever allow an injection to come in. The mask is okay. There is a real virus. Uh-huh. Well, here we are. The slave zombies are still out here wearing a mask. Children are still being subjected to that torture. And, oh, by the way, there's over 4,000 people reported on VAERS that are dead because of this injection. And that's just from Pfizer and Moderna. It doesn't count Johnson & Johnson. And that only represents 1% of the actual reporting, which in real terms is over 400,000 people. So, yeah, the injection was fake. Mm-hmm. It's going really well. Man, I'll tell you, the willingness to believe in idols is probably one of our greatest problems we have in this nation. The whole power has always been down to we the people. We the people. We've been the plan. We are the project. We are the future. We are why this thing was built. So let's jump into Federalist Paper number 66. Objections to the powers of the Senate to set as a court for impeachments for further are further considered. From the New York Packet, March 11th, 1788, authored by Alexander Hamilton. And we've been talking about the power of impeachments and the power of the Senate being used as a court. We're going to continue that discussion today. And the idea in the previous paper was that talking about the perfection or imperfection of the Senate as a court is basically saying that there was no perfect solution in any issue, but ultimately it came down to, as we saw over and over, and as we hear over and over in the Federalist Papers, it comes down to the people being involved and holding their representatives accountable, which all goes to the basic framework of how our nation was built. Moral law is the superstructure around everything, which means we are all accountable to God. Then our representatives are accountable to the people. And the people have a role to play, which means they are to hold our representatives accountable to them, and all people are accountable to God. It's a pretty neat little framework, except when you boot out God and then people decide that they don't want to be engaged, guess where we end up? I'll give you a clue. Now, right now, here around you, look around, this is the world that we get when all of that happens. The only way this system is going to be reset is for us to start acting like citizens of a republic and not obedient slaves to a tyranny. And I don't know how many people have been injected with this self-programming mRNA owned by Moderna Corporation injection, but good luck with that one. The land of the zombies. The rest of us, we've got a choice to make, and it's centered on Exodus. We are the remnant that are still have pure blood within us that hasn't been infected with this mRNA nonsense. So, here we go. To the people of the state of New York, a review of the principal objections that have appeared against the proposed court for the trial of impeachments will not improbably eradicate the remains of any unfavorable impressions which may still exist in regard to this matter. The first of these objections is that the provision in question confounds legislative and judiciary authorities in the same body, in violation of that important and well-established maxim which requires a separation between the different departments of power. The true meaning of this maxim has been discussed and ascertained in another place and has been shown to be entirely compatible with a partial intermixture of those departments for special purposes, preserving them in the main distinct and unconnected. This partial intermixture is even in some cases not only proper but necessary to the mutual defense of the several members of the government against each other. An absolute or qualified negative in the executive upon the acts of legislative body is admitted by the ablest adepts in political science to be an indispensable barrier against the encroachments of the latter upon the former, and it may, perhaps with no less reason, be connected that the powers relating to impeachments are, as before intimated, an essential check in the hands of the body upon the encroachments of the executive. The division of them between two branches of legislature, assigning to one the right of accusing the other the right of judging, avoids the inconvenience of making the same persons both accusers and judge, and guards against the danger of persecution from the prevalency of factious spirit in either of those branches. As the concurrence of two-thirds of the Senate will be required to the condemnation, the security to innocence from this additional circumstance will be as complete as itself can desire. It is curious to observe that what vehemence this part of the plan is assailed on the principle here taken notice of by men who profess to admire without exception the Constitution of this state, while that Constitution makes the Senate, together with the Chancellor and judges of the Supreme Court, not only a court of impeachments but the highest judiciary in the state, it all causes civil and criminal. The proportion in point of number to the Chancellor and judges to the Senators is so inconsiderable that the judiciary authority of New York in the last resort may with truth be said to reside in its Senate, if the plan of convention be, in this respect, chargeable with a departure from the celebrated maxim, which has been so often mentioned and seems to be so little understood, how much more culpable must be the Constitution of New York. So what we are talking about here is this powers of impeachment, which we've witnessed in our time, which is quite interesting because most people don't witness an impeachment. We didn't get a chance to witness one. We got a chance to witness two in this clown show that we called our government. This is where we saw everything that our founding fathers tried to prevent, we saw abused. And that's the whole point of these discussions about impeachment, is what's the line of security so that a factional set of people, party politics, would not use the impeachment as a tool, a weapon, to try to destroy the voice of the people. Well, we have seen it. And we have seen it because of a rigged election system, which is not fixed. It is a system where we have witnessed it because of people that are in the House of Representatives and the Senate who have been allowed to stay there, even though they are completely treasonous to the Constitution of the United States and to the we the people. And so they're able to run their charade because they're tied at the hip with special interests and corporate money. This is the world we are now in, this clown show we call a government, which is failed and is a tyranny by definition. By our laws and duties of our nation means it needs to be overthrown. Be clear about that. And if you doubt what I just said, go read the Declaration of Independence. Our duty, not our right, not just our right, but our duty as Americans is to take this government out, to remove it. And it needs to be done. So I will say it this way, for those that are keep going to, well, is August going to happen when the military? I don't care. I could care less. This is what I know. The momentum that we create now by a local action to reestablish our communities on the basis of the Constitution is the foundation on neutering the power of the federal and the state where need be, and resetting both the state and the federal back to the Constitution. We will do it. At whatever means necessary. And right now we are exploiting every peaceful and amicable means to get our local counties and communities back in control of we the people. Continuing. A second objection to the Senate as a court of impeachments is that it contributes to an undue accumulation of power in that body, tending to give to the government a countenance too aristocratic. The Senate, it is observed, is to have concurrent authority with the executive in the formation of treaties and in the appointment of offices. If, say the objectors, to these prerogatives is added that it is deciding in all cases of impeachment, it will give a decided predominancy to senatorial influence. To an objection so little precise in itself, it is too it is not easy to find a very precise answer. Where is the measure or criterion to which we can appeal for determining what will give the Senate too much or too little or barely the proper degree of influence? Will it not be more safe as well as more simple to dismiss such vague and uncertain calculations, to examine each power by itself, and to decide on general principles where it may be deposited with most advantage and least inconvenience? If we take this course, it will lead to more intelligible, if not more certain, result. The disposition of the power of making treaties, which is obtained in the plan of the convention, will then, if I mistake not, appear to be fully justified by the considerations stated in a former number and by others which will occur under the next head of other inquiries. The expediency of the junction of the Senate with the executive in the power of appointing offices will, I trust, be placed in a light not less satisfactory in the disquisitions under the same head, and I flatter myself the observations in my last paper must have gone no inconsiderable way towards proving that it was not easy, if practical, to find a more fit receptacle for the power of determining impeachments than that which has been chosen. If this be truly the case, the hypocritical dread of the too great weight of the Senate ought to be discarded from our reasonings. But the hypothesis, such as it is, has already been refuted in the remarks applied to the duration in the office prescribed for the senators. It was by them shown, as well as the credit of historical examples, as from the reason to the thing, that the most popular branch of every government partaking in the Republican genius, by being generally the favorite of the people, will be a generally full match, if not overmatch, for every other members of the government. So that reference, that last reference is important, because the arguments were made in previous papers that even though the Senate has a power of 6 years of duration, the point is that the power of the People's House, which is every 2 years, by number and by influence, ultimately will overcome the Senate, even if the Senate decides to pull a coup. Unless, of course, both houses have been bought off by Chinese and Mitch McConnell marries a Chinese spy and they all take their part in diddling kids, then that might be a bit of a problem, which is exactly where we are today. I guarantee you at the end of this day, we are going to be in a place where a whole bunch of people, and you watch it, watch how it happens, even the military is going to pull this stunt. They're going to try to sweep a bunch of this under the rug. And you want to see the biggest sweep they're going to do under the rug? It's going to be this injection. I guarantee you. And be like, whoa, yeah, well, we kind of made a mistake. Sorry, you all, like, bunch of you died. Clean that one up. Let's move on to the next topic. Let's talk about trade with China. So, anyway. But independent of this most active and operational principle to secure the equilibrium of a national House of Representatives, the plan of the convention has provided in its favor several important counterpoises to the additional authorities to be conferred upon the Senate. The exclusive privilege of originating money bills will belong to the House of Representatives. The same House will possess the sole right of instituting impeachments. Is not this a complete counterbalance to the determining of them? The same House will be the umpire in all elections of the president, which do not unite the suffrage of the majority of the whole number of electors, a case which it cannot be doubted will sometimes, if not frequently, happen. The constant possibility of the thing must be a fruitful source of influence of the body. The more it is contemplated, the more important will appear this ultimate, though contingent, power of deciding the competitions of the most illustrious citizens of the Union for the first office in it. It would not perhaps be rash to predict that as a mean of influence, it will be found to outweigh all peculiar attributes of the Senate. The thing that you have to continually reflect upon in this paper, in all these papers, is there is a given premise by our founding fathers that good people will seek office and that people will seek to do good for the nation. I know that they were aware of it, but I think that there's a sense of optimism built into this, that they would hope that the people would lead and do their job in holding them accountable. But we haven't seen that. We haven't seen it at all. What we see instead is that corporate entities and special interests, as they have gained power, continue to choose the candidates that we think we have a choice in. And it's only the candidates that will ultimately kiss the butt of corporate and special interests that they allow into the club. So this problem is at the core of this problem is the influence of corporations and special interests. And until that is fixed, our government will always reset to this nasty, miserable existence that it is right now, which is not a government by the people. It's a government driven by its own motives of alliances with corporations, special interests, using the tools of fear and manipulation, which are executed by the media. And part of that as well is the military-industrial complex, which has at its core the desire, ultimately, to control, monitor, and eliminate threat within the U.S. population as well as the world. You have to understand that principle. That once you cross the line with the military-industrial complex where they start to see war everywhere, you, as a citizen, are subject to their desires to keep a, quote, safe republic, meaning that your rights are a threat to their existence, and they will execute with lethal force if given the authority to eliminate you for the sake of, quote, preserving the republic. It's all a bunch of wording nonsense. It's all tyranny in every other form. Continuing. A third objection to the Senate as a court of impeachments is drawn from the agency they are to have in the appointments to office. It is imagined that they would be too indulgent judges of the conduct of men in which official creation they have participated. The principle of the objection would condemn a practice, which is to be seen in all the state governments, if not in all the governments at which we are acquainted. I mean that of rendering those who hold offices during pleasure dependent on the pleasure of those who appoint them. With equal plausibility might be alleged in this case that the favoritism of the latter would always be an asylum for the misbehavior of the former. But that practice, in contradiction to the principle, proceeds upon the presumption that the responsibility of those who appoint for the fitness and competency of the persons of whom bestow their choice and the interest they will have in the respectable and prosperous administration of affairs will aspire a sufficient disposition to dismiss from a share in all such who, by the conduct, shall have proved themselves unworthy of the confidence reposed in them. Though facts may not always correspond with the presumption, yet if it be, in the main, just, it must destroy the supposition that the Senate, who will merely sanction the choice of the executive, should feel a bias towards the objection of that choice strong enough to blind them to the evidence of guilt so extraordinary as to have induced representatives of the nation to become its accusers. If any further arguments were necessary to evince the probability of such bias, it might be found in the nature of the agency of the Senate in the business of appointments. It will be the office of the president to nominate and with the advice and consent of the Senate to appoint. There will, of course, be no exertion of choice on the part of the Senate. They may defeat one choice of the executive and oblige him to make another, but they cannot themselves choose. They can only ratify or reject the choice of the president. They might even entertain a preference to some other person at the very moment they were asserting that to the one proposed, because there might be no positive ground of opposition of him, and they could not be sure. If they withheld their assent, that their subsequent nomination would fall upon their own favorite or upon other person in the estimation more meritorious than the other rejected. Thus, it could hardly happen that the majority of the Senate would feel any other complacency towards the object of appointment than such as appearances merit might inspire, and the proofs of want of it destroy. So the two things there and in that passage is the idea that the Senate in itself is going to be a check and balance in all of this, and it is the place where it has a certain measure of power, but ultimately it is not going to be able to control all of what the executive does. In terms of appointments, the executive gets a choice, even if it continues to choose. The Senate doesn't get to choose its appointments, but the Senate can deny it. But there's also this other piece of a little bit of naivety here, that the Senate would somehow not all come together to work in unison. And we've seen that happen because, again, one of the back pieces to our current modern government is the fact that corporations and special interests control the senators. They're not representatives of the state or the people. And that also holds true with the House of Representatives. And as we dug into the Dominion hack, we understand that from the very beginning, for years, we never had a choice anyway. When you thought you were voting for someone, you weren't voting for anyone other than who they wanted you to win. Everybody. So our whole government is rigged. A fourth objection to the Senate in the capacity of a court of impeachments is derived from its union with the executive in the power of making treaties. This, it has been said, would constitute the senators their own judges in every case of a corrupt or perfidious execution of that trust. After having combined with the executive in betraying the interests of the nation in a ruinous treaty, the prospect, it is asked, would there be of their being made to suffer the punishment that would deserve when they were themselves to decide upon the accusation being against them for the treachery in which they have been guilty. This objection has been circulated with more earnest and more with greater show of reason than any other which has appeared against this part of the plan, and yet I am deceived if it does not rest upon an erroneous foundation. So one thing to keep in mind is that the idea of impeachment from our founding fathers was not a small affair. The number of people on the left that still believe in the Russian dossier is stunning. I will guarantee you every one of them took the injection, by the way. Which, good luck on that, since it's now sterilized them all. At least that's what the evidence shows. So, happy days. Happy days again. There you go. But the idea of this, this idea that somehow an impeachment is a political action for the benefit of a political party was what they were trying to avoid. And in so doing, tried to create the checks and balances to prevent that from happening. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. And we have seen that since corporations and special interests rule our government, that when you bring in somebody that's a representative of the voice of the people, that in the end of the day, they will execute what they want, not the will of the people. And you end up with a coup. Last two paragraphs. The security essentially intended by the Constitution against corruption and treachery in the formation of treaties is to be sought for in the numbers and characters of those who are to make them. The joint agency of the chief magistrate of the Union and of 2/3 of the members of a body selected by the collective wisdom of the legislature of the several states is designed to be the pledge of for the fidelity of the national councils in this particular. The convention might, with propriety, have mediated the punishment of the executive for a deviation from the instructions of the Senate or a want of integrity to the conduct of the negotiations committed to him. They might also have had in view the punishment of a few leading individuals in the Senate who should have prostituted their influence in that body as mercenary instruments of foreign corruption. But they could not, with more or with equal propriety, have contemplated the impeachment and punishment of 2/3 of the Senate consenting to an improper treaty, that of the majority of that or of that other branch of national legislature, consenting to a pernicious or unconstitutional law, a principle which I believe has never been admitted into government. How, in fact, could a majority of the House of Representatives impeach themselves? Not better, it is evident that then two-thirds of the Senate might try themselves. And yet, what reason is there that a majority of the House of Representatives, sacrificing the interests of the society by an unjust and tyrannical act of legislation, should escape with impunity more than two-thirds of the Senate sacrificing the same interests in an injurious treaty with a foreign power? The truth is that all such cases it is essential to the freedom and to the necessary independence of the deliberations of the body that the members of it should be exempt from punishment for acts done in a collective capacity, and the security of society must depend on the care which is taken to confide the trust in proper hands, to make of their interest to execute with fidelity, and to make it a difficult as possible for them to combine in interest opposite of the public good. So far as might concern this misbehavior of the executive in perverting the instructions and contriving the views of the Senate, we need not be apprehensive of the want of a disposition in the body to punish the abuse of their confidence or vindicate their own authority. We may thus far count upon the pride, if not upon the virtue. And so far, even as might concern the corruption of leading members, by whose arts and influence the majority may have been inveigled into measures odious to the community, if the proofs of that corruption should be satisfactory, the usual propensity of a human nature will warrant us in concluding that there would be commonly no defect in inclination in the body to divert public resentment from themselves by a ready sacrifice of the authors of their mismanagement and grace. End of Federalist Paper number 66. Okay. Here is what is principle here. We are in a place right now that we have witnessed that the full bodies of Senate and House have turned their back on America. And our founding fathers basically assumed that they would be able to be removed by the people, but didn't foresee a situation where the vote could be so fully corrupted that they could control the game board. Furthermore, they gave them immunity from persecution or prosecution on collective acts. That's when you read these things and you look at it from the lens of evil, you start to understand how they have manipulated this, because they have used one of the principal issues, which is virtue and being virtuous to the public as good stewards and representatives of the nation. And that has ultimately translated to what type of free junk can I give you? And they have used that virtuous idea to constantly be out here where they can be promising things and delivering things to their special interests to assure their perpetuation in power. We have seen an abuse of the Constitution based on one of the principal values that it was built upon, which was to serve the people with virtue and goodwill and good intent. But instead, that's been manipulated to buy off the people and to manipulate them, because people love free stuff. That's it. What a ridiculous idea. So, there we have it. We have a government that needs to be changed. It might require, at a certain point, the military interaction. I would quit rallying around that idea, and I would start getting busy in your local communities, because the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and so forth, doesn't say the military will fix it for you. It says we the people fix it, and for good reason. Once you give power to one group of people, they don't like to relinquish that power easily. Just keep that in mind. Be strong. Be active. Get involved. And fight for what is right. Fight for this Declaration of fight for the Constitution and use the powers given to you by the Declaration of Independence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you for the days that we have here constantly to reflect and to gain wisdom over through the voices of old, the ancient voices and texts of Scripture, and the wisdom you give us in our hearts. Please guide us and protect us in all we do. Our eyes open and our ears open for the path ahead, and to lead us to victory, to resetting this nation on the foundations of In God We Trust and returning the power truly back to the people. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. All right, Patriots. I'll see you this evening for Bards FM. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. Keep your prayers up. Keep your action going at a local level. Be loud. Be strong. Stand for what the principles are you believe in and what God guides us to do. God is always with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will always win. So until this evening or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made. Therefore, they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one: to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.